Well, good morning. Let's take out our notes as we continue in our series in the book of Daniel. And today we want to talk about when prayers don't get answered. I mean to tell you, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you pray and they get answered the way you expect, and sometimes you pray and they don't get answered the way you expect. I mean, you think about it. I prayed for like genius level kids, didn't get answered. Prayer didn't get answered. But then Anna prayed for like a perfect husband. God heard her prayers. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's just how it is. You pray for a raise. They raise your rent. They raise your insurance. You pray for a PhD. You get a GED. You know, sometimes it just it happens like that. You know, kids have a tendency to ask for the funniest things. And in children's letters to God, there's a couple of these that I just love. Now, these are kids like 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, and they're writing these little one-liners to God and asking him questions like this. Here's one by Norma. She's age 7. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it really just like an accident? Here's one. It says, Dear God, Neil, 8 years old. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Here's one. Dear God, Allison, 8 years old. I read the Bible and it always talks about people begatting. What does begat mean? Nobody in my family will tell me. But this is my favorite. Dear God, Joyce is praying. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. Sometimes they get answered the way you expect, sometimes they don't. But if you are like that, you're not in bad company. You're in good company. Paul the Apostle prayed that way in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There was a thorn in his flesh. Well, we don't know what that is. Commentators say that his eyesight went really bad in the end, or some say it was just a physical problem. He had bouts of depression. But whatever it was, he prayed, the Bible says, 3 times, God, he said, please remove this thorn from me. 2 Corinthians 12 says, and God simply answered, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm not going to take the thorn away, the problem away. I'm going to give you more grace in order to handle it. See, his prayer wasn't quite answered the way he wanted it to be answered. And some of God's very best in the Bible prayed for their prayers to be answered, and they weren't. But yet, interestingly, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we have a thing called the Hall of Faith. In athletics, you'll hear it called the Hall of Fame. But this is called the Hall of Faith, where God's best men and women from the Old Testament and New find their way into the elite of the elite because of their faith. And they name some of them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jephthah, Gideon, Samson, Daniel, and many of the others. But I want you to see how it talks about these people and they describe them. Listen to this. These who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Now, sounds great, doesn't it? Same breath. But others experienced mockings and scourgings. They experienced chains, imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and ill-treated, wandered in deserts and mountains and caves. And then, same breath, all of these aforementioned, all of these gained approval through their faith. Even though some did not receive what was promised, all were commended by God. You think, wait a minute. The first half seemed to get all their prayers answered. The second seemed to not have any of them answered the way they expected, And both of them got into the Hall of Faith? See, sometimes when our prayers don't get answered the way we expect them to, we think it's because of our faith. No. The Lord said both of these are in what we call the Hall of Faith. See, just because you have faith doesn't mean everything's going to be answered the way you expect it. And if you don't have faith, doesn't mean you'll lose out. No, God will work with you. But if your prayers don't get answered, does that mean that we lost out and we don't have faith? No. There would be people without faith. But there's people with faith that won't get their prayers answered the way I expect too. Does that mean we're in the same category? No, not necessarily. Don't make those two the same. So be careful. So God is saying, you're going to have some prayers answered the way you expect them to, and sometimes not. That happened to the men and women of old, and they were some of God's elite. Happened to Daniel. There was a vision that was given to Daniel. Because of the disobedience of the people of Jerusalem, remember in 587, they were deported to Babylon. One of them was Daniel. Now the people here, because of their disobedience to God, this vision came to Daniel and said, the temple will become desolate. People will abandon the things of God. They will be dispersed throughout the known world. They'll wait for the Messiah. They thought, the Messiah? God actually gave Daniel a prophetic vision of the coming of Christ. Now, he had no understanding of this. It so troubled his soul, the Bible says, that Daniel went into prayer and fasting for 3 weeks. 21 days he prayed and fasted. Please, God, he humbled himself. Give me understanding what this was about. How am I going to help these people? If it's going to cause Jerusalem to be desolate and destroyed, how do I help them? How do I help them? Because by this time, Daniel was one of the more influential people in the known world. But he had no idea what this vision meant. Cried out to God, Lord, what do I do? I don't understand. And he prayed and fasted 21 days, 22 days, 23 days. On the 24th day, God sends a courier in the form of an angel, and he speaks to Daniel. And let's read at the top of our notes what he says to Daniel. And now in your greatest Shakespearean voices, let's rattle the timbers here. Ready? Go. Daniel, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding, I have come in answer to your prayer. But the angel prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Let me tell you what's happening. The angel prince of the kingdom of Persia is a name for the devil, the enemy that already had a strategy poised against Daniel. And the first day Daniel began to pray, God said, I dispatched a courier. But what was going on was a whole lot bigger than what you were praying about, Daniel. And when God answered your prayer, it wasn't as you expected. It really was much more than you expected. Because you see, we had to do some spiritual warfare on your behalf, because the enemy knew of your influence and he had already developed a strategy against you, poised against you, and there was spiritual battle taking place. And once that was taken care of and untangled, it set you free to be all that I called you to be. Now, Daniel, I just want to let you know that that battle has had a breakthrough, and now God will use you in a great way. You see, Daniel, even though you prayed and it wasn't answered the way you expected, it was actually much more than you knew about. And I want you to know that there's times where God can see the past, the beginning from the end, and he sees you. And sometimes we're praying about a little temporal issue, and God says, I'm going to answer your prayer, but it's going to be something much larger. And we get upset because it didn't get answered the way that we wanted it to be answered, but it got answered. It was illustrated in this inscription found after the Civil War. It's about prayer. I think you'll like it. It tells us how God answers prayer sometimes. It goes like this. I ask God for strength in order that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do great things. But instead, God gave me infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches so I could be happy. I was given poverty that I might become wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. But I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things so I could enjoy life. But God gave me life so that I could enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were more than answered. And now I am, among all men, the most richly blessed. Isn't that great? See, God answers our prayers, but not in the way we necessarily expect them to be answered. He answers them in a far greater way. Do you remember some years ago when we had buses that would go around the city, and just above the window there would be a cord that you would pull so that it would kind of buzz or ding, and the bus driver would know that you want to get off. Remember those little cords? How many of you remember those? Raise your hand. Yeah, I don't. It's way before my time. But they would, you know, bing, or then the bus driver would stop. You know, that's just how it was. Now, although we would pull that cord, well, the bus driver would stop at the next stop, but he also had the power to override that. It wasn't like you pull and it goes, No, you'd, and the bus driver would know. But he had the power to override in case there was construction happening, dangerous traffic pattern going, something wrong. The bus driver would just stop and wait, and you'd want to get off, and he'd say, no, not yet, hold on. And he might move to a different location that's a little safer, and then he'd say, okay, all right, you can get off. You see, the bus driver can see a lot further than we could see. All we could see from the back seat was the need to get off at the next stop. But the bus driver knew the safety, the context, so much more. And the same is true with prayer. I pray, but I've got to give God the power to override because he sees a whole lot more than I see. God sees the spiritual warfare going on for my family. He knows the stratagems poised and pointed against your marriage. You're just praying for a little bit of financial help. You're just praying to get, you know, your kids off your back or your wife to settle down or your husband to be quiet or whatever. God, you know, teach my wife, teach my husband. And in the midst of that, God is seeing a whole lot more. It might be a huge demonic strategy against you. And you're saying, God, how come you're not answering? And God is saying, I'm answering you more than you'll ever realize. We'll pull the buzzer. But let God override. And that's what Daniel is teaching us. And I want to share with us out of Daniel a couple of principles that deal not just with the issue about what we're praying about, but the heart of the one who prays about issues, to develop in us a spirit of excellence as we ask God to help us as we walk through life. What are a couple of principles that speak to not necessarily the technique of prayer? That's not what you're going to hear. But the heart of the one who is praying, whether it delights God or not. Let's take a look at two principles that will help us. The first is this. Would you write in your notes? Number one, when you pray, always pray with thanksgiving, regardless of your expectations of how that prayer should be answered. Always pray with the heart. And that's a condition of the heart, speaking of a spirit of excellence. Always have as a condition of your heart thanksgiving, regardless of your expectations, regardless of whether or not you think it's going to be answered the way you expect it. Say, Lord, I really need this to happen, but Lord, you know, I am so thankful that you're on the throne nevertheless. You see, the reason that is so important is this. Let's read the scriptures together right under number one. Go. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Would you underline, in everything, give thanks? Because this is God's will. What? The situation? This is God's will. What? The circumstance? No, this is God's will. What? That in everything you give thanks, regardless of the circumstance. He's talking about our hearts more than a circumstance. Because you see, if our heart doesn't change, the circumstance will as time goes by. But if our heart is still stink, you're going to find yourself in the same place the next week, the next month. If there's a problem in your marriage, you change my wife, God, change my wife. Well, if he does, but your heart still stinks, you're going to be back in the same position. You got the same attitude, the same mood, the same perspective. It's going to be there again and again. God is saying, I'm more concerned about your heart in everything. Give thanks. Because this is the will of God. The situation in my family? No. That you be a thankful man. That you guard your heart. Well, what do you mean, guard your heart? That's what he says. Let's read the next one. Let's read it. Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with let your requests be made known to God. And the result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Would you circle the word guard and underline your heart? You see, the Bible is saying, when you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of Christ will guard your heart. Because in a situation, as you're waiting for things to pan out, regardless of what God is doing, we don't understand that, but in that time, if you're not careful, if your heart is unguarded, you will develop a bitter heart, an angry heart, a surrendered heart, a heart that says, forget it, and a heart that's hardened. And you'll come through, and the thing will change. God will answer your prayer, but by then, you've got a hardened heart. I remember a man that was praying for his wife that had actually left him for a season. And we would pray together and pray together for the salvation of his wife, and his wife would come around. She'd actually left him. And we prayed and prayed, but I noticed after a while, he's getting angrier and angrier at God, saying, I've been praying for 2 months. I've been praying for 2.5 months. I've been praying for 3 months. I said, God is doing something bigger. He's just not changing the geography of your wife. You've got to change your heart, and something deep in there has gone awry. Let's just keep praying, asking God to change that. Well, he got so upset that God didn't answer. In 4.5 months, she came back. God did a huge thing in her life. She repented, came back weeping, fell in love with the Lord, came back home. But you know what? By that time, his heart was so hardened, he didn't accept her back home. He said, get out of here. I don't want you anymore. I've lost love for you. I thought, you idiot. You see, what happens is if we pray and we don't allow thanksgiving to guard our hearts, it'll get bitter, I tell you. It'll get bitter. And then the very prayer that God prays, you won't be able to accept because it's a heart issue, not a circumstantial issue. God wants to check our hearts, and so make sure that you're praying. Now, you say, but Wayne, I don't understand. That's why the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because there's times we don't understand what God is doing. I don't know what he's doing in the heavenlies. I don't know the spiritual battle that's going on. The devil, the demons have poised themselves against my family or my marriage. And so I'm praying about some physical symptoms that's starting to take place. I want the symptoms to go away. I pull on the cord. God dispatches angels. And there's a huge battle going on. But I'm saying, how come it's taking so long? God is saying, if you will keep thankful, Wayne, I'll not only guard your heart and your mind, but I'll give you the peace of Christ, which will surpass your inability to understand. Because how many of us would agree, there's times God is doing stuff and I don't understand? How many of you would say, yeah, that's me, yeah. But he says, I'll give you a peace that goes beyond your understanding. Because you know why? Scientists say that human beings use only up to 4% of their brain. Just 4%. I have some friends in Palolo, that's a stretch for them. But 4%. And now we're mad because we can't understand the God who created the universe. You're only using 4%. So God says, you know what? I'm going to give you a peace that surpasses your ability to comprehend. I'm going to give you a peace that'll guard your heart so that when I finally am done with what I want to do, which is far above and beyond what you've been praying about, even though it doesn't seem like I'm answering you, your heart will be guarded. And there will be a peace that will give you a sense of longevity beyond your ability to understand. Ah, that's it. So to keep a heart of thanksgiving, that's right. Because would you write in your bullet there, a thankful heart is a guarded heart. A thankful heart is a guarded heart. The story is told of a man who capsized his boat, and he was stranded on an island way, way out in the middle of nowhere. Years went by. He prayed every day, God, help, I need to be rescued. And he was living off of crabs and fish and coconuts, built himself a little hut. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Oh, he was so upset. One day he's even cooking, and his little kitchen catches fire and his makeshift hut, his house, the only thing he had to guard himself from the weather, burns to the ground. And so he's just mad. He's pounding the sand, pounding all night long, pounding the sand. The next day he's mad at God. I've been praying for so long. Just then a Coast Guard helicopter comes over, lands right next to him. And he goes, whoa, and the guy rescues him. And he said, how'd you know I've been here? I've been here 5 years. The Coast Guard guy said, we saw your smoke signal. Great idea. You see, sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Let's read the next scripture, Romans 8, 28. Go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, you see, a thankful heart is a guarded heart. Otherwise, you give up, you bail out. God knows when to stop the bus. Yeah, we're pulling on the cord, but give him the power, because he can see a lot further than we can from the back seat. But the other is, would you write in your next bullet, pray with great wisdom. Pray with great wisdom. You see, when Daniel prayed, he prayed with humility to understand. That's what he was praying for. One of the greatest prayers listed in the Old Testament, and as wonderful in many books as Prayer of Jabez sold, that's not the greatest prayer. One of the greater prayers is Solomon's prayer. Lord, give me wisdom with which to serve your people. And God said, because you asked for wisdom and not for longevity or long life or influence, I'll give you everything you didn't ask for because you asked for the right thing. You see, Daniel is saying, Lord, give me understanding. And when you pray, pray correctly. It's so easy to pray such just frivolous prayers. Give me this, Lord. No, no, no. Give me that. Ooh, no, no. Give me this. And we're just kind of using God as this genie in the lamp, and it's just so frivolous. And God is saying, stop, first stop. Let's read what the Book of Wisdom teaches us about praying, Ecclesiastes 5. Let's read it. Go. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You see, sometimes we're saying, God, do this, and we're kind of pulling God down to our level. God, I'm doing this, so bless me. And God is saying, be really careful, because prayer isn't designed to pull God to you. It's designed to pull you to him. Be wiser. Be wiser. Billy Graham said it this way. He said, I saw a ship docking one day. They threw out these big ropes they put around these pilings on the pier. The engines began to whir in the ship, and that which was slack rope now became tight and taut. And I noticed as the rope began to wind around this huge pulley in the ship, I noticed something interesting. The dock was not pulled out to the ship. The ship was pulled in to the dock. And he said, and that's how prayer is. Prayer isn't pulling God out to my desires and wants. Prayer is saying, Lord, help me to understand what you're doing so that I better cooperate with you. And that's the prayer of Daniel, who humbled himself and prayed for wisdom. You see, we think it's the other way around, but it isn't. God is wanting us to pull snugly to him. It's easy to say, God, do what I'm blessing. Sometimes we pray and pray pretty frivolous prayers, and then when God doesn't answer it, we take shortcuts. We do an end run on God, and we, by hook or crook, by maneuver and manipulation, we get what we wanted. And then we think, uh-oh, this ain't what it's cracked up to be. And then we say, oh, God, would you bless me anyway? You know what God is saying? Here's a wiser prayer. Instead of praying, God bless what I'm doing, here's a better prayer. Lord, please help me to do what you're blessing. Help me to do what you're blessing. And then God says, now you're understanding how to pray with wisdom. Pray with wisdom. You pray too frivolous, it goes bad. It's like the little girl in Spanish class. Teacher was teaching them how to learn these vocabulary words. And she was having a hard time. All the kids were having a hard time. So the teacher said, all right, kids, if you say a word 20 times, It's yours. Say a word 20 times and it'll be yours. So a little girl in the back of the room was saying, Johnny, 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 Johnny. Don't be so quick. I tell people I'm glad God doesn't answer all my prayers. In high school, there was this beautiful cheerleader, and I prayed, oh, God, if there's anything you can do in my life, let her be my wife. And then I saw her at our 25th reunion. I'm so glad God didn't answer my prayer. God knows what's best, but sometimes we pray, and if God doesn't answer it, we take a shortcut. We go around, we do an end run on God, and we get what we wanted for in the first place, and then we end up with something we don't want. You see, would you write down in the next bullet, prayer is not forcing God to do something for you. Prayer isn't forcing God to do something for you. No, you don't want to do that. Even Jesus modeled that. When he was praying in Gethsemane, when he could have called a legion of angels at his beck and cry, he cries and says, God, let's read it together. Go, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You see, even Jesus says, Lord, I'm pulling the cord, but you have the power to override. Here's the thing. We'll be like otherwise the children of Israel that demanded something in the wilderness. They were tired and they demanded and they lusted after other things. They craved other things. Demanded that God give to them. God did. But look at the result. Let's read this next scripture. Go. They lusted exceedingly and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. Isn't that right? Sometimes we say, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And God says, you want it? Yeah, yeah. Here, take it then. And then when we get it, we don't want it. God, I just want that boy. I just want that girl. Oh, and then we get it. Oh, I don't want this. Isn't that right? Because we demand, like children. Children, Dad, I want this. No, you don't. It's not good for you. Dad, I want it. No, no. Dad, I want it. No, no. Dad, I want it. You want it? Yeah. Here, take it. Take it. Get out of here. Now, you got it, but did it please the Father for you to get it? That's a big issue. It's the heart, not the item. The heart's still bad, and it's going to demand again and again and again, and then that thing that you got will rot. That's what happened with the children of Israel in Psalm 106. They were tired of having manna. They wanted meat. And so that's what they were craving. So the Bible said they began to crave and get mad at God. God, I don't want manna anymore. I'm tired of manna. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. They're tired of it. We have manna. Manna, we have banana bread, manna coddy. Everything is manna. We want meat. And so God says, you want meat? Yes, we want meat. So God says, I'll give you meat. And he gave them quail for meat up to their nostrils until that stuff rotted around them. You know, the funny thing was they got what they wanted, but what they didn't have anymore was a clean, clear relationship with the Lord. The Bible said their souls became lean. There's a barrenness in a desert. Oh, yeah, we can hook by hook or crook and maneuver and manipulation. We can do an end run on God, and we can get what we want, even though we know it's not God's timing, it's not God's best. We'll get it. We'll get it, but we'll lose our soul in the process. And God is saying, when you pray, trust me. There'll be a timing. There may be things I've got to do in the heavenlies to put things into order so that when you receive this promise, it is in the appropriate time and you have the character and you have the context and you have the support for this. But sometimes we're like little kids that we want to drive the car and we're only 9 years old, but we want to drive that car. And the dad is saying, you will, but not now. And we get upset. And God knows what's best. And he can see the end from the beginning. And so God is saying, be careful, because someone once said, interestingly, he said, there's two pains in life, Wayne. One is not to get what you crave for, and the other is when you do. So it's got to be the Lord. The scripture says it's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Isn't that good? So it's a timing of God, and allow him to have the right timing. Does he answer prayer? Yeah, but not always the way we expect it. Reason? Let's read this quote right underneath there. Would you read it? Go. Reason? The Holy Spirit will not only answer our prayer for our life, he'll go a step further. Now, whenever you think that God is not answering prayer, he's not answering prayer. He's answering it far above what you asked. So never think that God does lesser. He always does more. But sometimes we don't want to wait on the more. We just want to settle for less. And God loves you too much to let you do that. So the reason God says to wait on him and be wise, reason, because the Holy Spirit, who is the one who takes and couriers God's promise to your life, the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to answer your prayer for your life. Would you write down? He will answer the Father's prayer for your life. Did you know that the Father has a prayer for your life? He does. He knows your future. And he has a will for you. And so when we pray, and I pray, God, give me this. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, what do you think? Well, this is what I really want for me to be a lot better. Okay, which prayer you think the Holy Spirit's going to answer? I don't want him to answer mine. I want him to answer the Father's. And that's exactly what Romans says. Let's read it together. Go. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Why? Because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I'll pray. But you know what? Sometimes God won't answer the way I expect. He'll answer much better. He'll go far above and beyond. Won't always be the nicest, but it's going to be the most eternal. Let me tell you, when Anna and I were starting off in ministry, I was a youth pastor, part-time, $50 a month, and I was also working in a photo shop at about $9, $8 an hour, but it was just part-time. So I didn't have that much money. Plus, I was going to school full-time and putting her through school full-time. And so I had Zippo. We weren't poor. We was poor. And in fact, when we got married, just to rent an apartment, it was $175 a month. Wasn't that big of nice of an apartment. But because I couldn't even afford that, I asked the owner of the apartment complex if I could sweep the walks once a week and trim the grass and clean the place up for part of my rent. So he said, I'll dock $100 off. So we got to pay only $75 a month. And so I just worked and then did the other jobs as well. And I look back on it now, and we were so poor. And I remember praying, crying. I mean, physically crying, because I thought, what a terrible husband I am. We've got zero money. And we had to eat saimin upon saimin. That was all we had, noodles, those, you know, packaged noodles. And man, I pray, we ate oodles of noodles. That's all we ate. I said, God, please, God, I'm trying to serve you, and we don't have anything. When our tires would get so bald, I kind of liked it because I could skid them in the snow, you know, like, watch this, honey. And she'd say, it's because they're bald. Oh, well. And then I couldn't get new ones, so I'd actually go to the junkyards and look for tires that fit my rims and just kind of get them off of dead cars. And that's how I would, that's the only thing we could afford. And I knew how to get free stuff in town. Oh, man, I was good. If you want to know how to get free stuff, I know how to get free stuff. Because you see, when I look back, even though I prayed, God, get me out of this poverty, it's like he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because you see, when I look back on it now, that season of my life, I wouldn't change a second of it. Because it was during those years that I learned how to be innovative, how to depend on God, how to do without, and it's okay, how to enjoy the little things, how to just take like two sticks and rub them together for a fire. It's all right. To learn how to enjoy free stuff. May I tell you, we'd go to potlucks. We knew where all the potlucks were. And then when we'd be hungry, like I'd say, honey, let's go to the, you know, the Hickory Farm store because they gave samples of cheese and salami. We go down there, I would just eat every sample I could find. And I'd have a full belly from pieces of salami and cheese this big, you know, just like 100 of them. And so we knew how to get free stuff, legally, free stuff from the whole place. And, you know, I look back and I laugh, but those days I wouldn't trade. I learned how to believe God for the miraculous. I knew how to do without. And when God now adds, that's wonderful, but I can still do without because I know how to do without and it's okay. And it's almost like God said, good, now I can trust you with more. And I think, you know, you answered my prayers more than I ever realized. Because my deeper prayer was, Lord, make me a steward and a servant. Help me to be a person who depends on you. And so you kept me in that season. Did he answer my prayer? Oh, I pulled on that cord a lot. And some of you are in the same place. You're wondering why God isn't answering the way you expect him to answer. And you're about to let your heart get hardened. Can I say this from Daniel's life? He reminds us, guard your heart. And from the very first day you prayed, God began to answer. Cooperate with them. Because God is doing something greater than what you prayed for, more than your expectation. But if we're constantly bailing out, God has to rewind the tape and work on us and then get back up there and do stuff and then rewind the tape and work on us because we're constantly bailing out. And God is saying, I love you too much to just answer a short-term temporal prayer. I'm going to do something greater, but trust me. Trust me. And cooperate. Do we pull the cord? Absolutely. Because in the midst of prayer, I begin to see some stuff in my own heart that I need to correct. Prayer helps me to see who I am. Prayer helps pull me closer to the Lord. Should we pull on the cord? Please do. But always remember, pull on the cord, but let him drive. He can see a lot further than you could ever hope to see. Trust him. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stand together. Thank you, God. Let's bow our heads as we conclude in prayer. We're going to sing the beautiful Lord's Prayer in closing. But before we do, if you're here with your heads bowed, let's all bow our heads. And you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm someone that's pretty impetuous in prayer. I mean, I can pray, but I get really upset when God doesn't answer right away to the point where my heart gets hardened and I kind of give up on God. And now I'm realizing that God wants to answer my prayer, but not the way I want it sometimes. It's a lot better. But I have a habit of bailing out on God. And so it's sort of like God is having to work two ends, a spiritual battle and then trying to pull me back in. I really need God's strength to be able to trust him. Trust him so that he can do what he wants to do in my life. Would you give me that strength, Lord, to trust you? If that's you, would you just raise a hand and you're saying, yeah, Lord, that's me. Would you help me to be faithful in this area? Yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, oh, man, do it. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. There will be no other decision in your whole lifetime that'll match this, I guarantee it. You say, well, Wayne, I need forgiveness. I've kind of gone off my own way. And that's the very reason Jesus died on the cross, so that you'll have a place to make a U-turn. That you'll have a place to turn the car around and say, I stopped going the way I was, and I choose to follow you. That's the cross. And so many have made that decision. But God will not force that decision on you. He respects your decision. You know, even the decision you make to reject him, he will respect. But in like manner, he'll respect your decision to follow him.
And it'll release him to work in your life and to change you from the inside out and develop in every single one of us a spirit of excellence. So if you've never received Christ and you say, man, I don't understand all there is to understand, but I tell you, I need God's forgiveness and I need his help. That I do know. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that he'll answer. So if you'd say, you know, that's me, Wayne, I want to open my heart to Jesus, would you right now raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So many. You can put your hands down and we're going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer. Even if you've received the Lord before, let's all renew our hearts to the Lord. And outside, there's a place called a Connections Tent. Stop by if this is the first time you've said yes to Christ. And just tell them, I said yes to Jesus. And they'll give you a follow-up packet free of charge. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Just receive that. It'll help you in your first few steps. And if you need prayer, there's always a prayer and counselor's tent. You can stop by there, access them. There's pastors there, and they'll help you in any way that they can. We want to be a family. We want to walk closely enough so that there's help available, but not so close that it smothers you from depending on Christ. But we want to walk together as a family. So let's pray together. And would you repeat this prayer after me out loud? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me of my sins and give me a new beginning. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time. Welcome to the family of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Give someone a hug on your way out. For thy